This is the day we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. That's such a vital part of our spiritual protection from Satan. And it deserves probably more attention than we can give it this morning in one message. If you read the little daily bread as a part of your devotion, you probably remember reading not too long ago this account of how a pastor father lost his influence in the life of each one of his sons. I just want to quote it to you. A strange dog came to a preacher's house, and his three sons soon became quite fond of the dog. It so happened that there were three prominent white hairs that stood out in the dog's black tail. One day, the owner of the dog put an advertisement in the newspaper about his lost dog that had these three identifying white hairs in his tail. Not wanting to part with the dog his sons had grown to care for so much, the minister later told this confession of his dishonesty. In the presence of my three boys, we carefully separated the three white hairs and removed them from the dog's tail. When the real owner discovered where the straying canine had found a home, he came to claim him. The dog showed every sign of recognition of the real owner. So the man was ready to take him away and claim ownership of his dog. But quickly the minister spoke up. "Didn't you say the dog would be known by three white hairs in his tail?" The owner, unable to find the identifying feature, was forced to leave without his dog. That minister later said, "We kept the dog, but I lost my three sons for Christ." His sons no longer had confidence in what their father professed. He hadn't practiced what he preached. Now that's a rather sad story, but it comes right to the heart of the message today. And so I relate it to you again. That man lost his sons because he lost the very heart of the battle. He lost the very heart of the Christian faith, which is God making you righteous in your standing and your living. And whenever we fail to wear the breastplate of righteousness as God's people, we are indeed in very, very dangerous ground. Righteousness is a fascinating word. In the New Testament, it comes from the Greek word dikaia, and it means acting or living in complete accord with divine and moral holiness. It is being free from the guilt of sin, on the one hand, but on the other, it means that you have genuine purity of heart and rectitude of living. That's the way some of the theologians define righteousness. And today we're talking about having the breastplate of righteousness in place. Anita and I recently secured a copy of that classic motion picture on videotape, Ben-Hur. Remember, Lew Wallace was the one who made the historical novel popular in American literature with his famous book, Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ. And we all know something of what an impact that film, when it was produced, had upon many who saw it. The thing that impressed me again as I've been preparing this series on putting on the armor of God was to see how important the breastplate was in the Roman armor. It fitted the soldier from above his shoulders down to his midsection. And it was usually prepared just for the wearer so that it molded to his body, covering the vital physical organs of your lungs, in your heart, in your liver, in your spleen, in your stomach. And contrary to what some have understood, it also covered the back of the soldier, so that from the top of his spine and to below his kidneys, he was protected from the thrust of the enemy's spear or sword. And so it begins to come into focus how important the breastplate is to the protection of a soldier. And to bring that into the metaphor, understanding of what the metaphor means, the breastplate of righteousness is absolutely essential to you and me if we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's something that we need to be very familiar with and understand it and appropriate and put it on, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, most of us know something about the battle that we have with Satan over righteousness. And we've already mentioned to you that each part of the armor represents a way in which Satan comes against us. And Satan wants to devour you and destroy you by tempting you in this area of righteousness. And he primarily does it in two ways. The first way is that he wants to get you to compromise in this area, to think it's not too important to live according to the righteous standards God sets forth in the Ten Commandments and many other places in His Word, and even in your own conscience, which many times has been made sensitive by the Word of God. And Satan tries to say to you, it doesn't matter that you take the white hairs out of a dog's tail if it helps you get something you want, or tell a little white lie, or do the things that the world does when deep in your heart you know they're wrong. Compromise righteousness. But the other way that he gets at us is to accuse us of the lack of righteousness that we're all aware we do not have in our own efforts. I was sharing with the folk in the first service, I have never known anyone who said, I am so righteous. I've got so much righteousness. I'm so holy. Now, sometimes people may seem to act that way, but I've never yet heard anybody who said that, because most of us are aware of just the opposite problem. We're aware of how greatly we fail, how tragically we sin, and we miss the mark. And I hope that all of us are aware that we are not righteous by our own efforts or design. If you find somebody who says that, he's in trouble, because spiritual pride has come into his heart. But Satan will try to overwhelm you with a sense of your own unworthiness and your own unrighteousness. I copied out of my second book, Overcoming the Adversary, the contrast between the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and me in accord with God's will and the way that Satan tries to come at us and deal with us. Let me just share four of those contrasts quickly with you. First of all, the Holy Spirit, when he comes to you and me, he seeks to show you that your infinite worth and value to God make God desire your fellowship. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But what does Satan do? He seeks to convince you that you are so bad, God wouldn't want to have anything to do with you. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, he seeks to show you that there is forgiveness and restoration available no matter how bad your sins. But when Satan comes to you, he seeks to convince you that there's no forgiveness for you. You've committed the unpardonable sin. You're so bad, Satan deserves to have you. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, he uses God's word to give you hope and assurance of God's love and forgiveness. But when Satan comes, he uses God's word out of context to try to convince you that there's no hope for you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he builds faith in you and hope and love in your heart and increases your confidence and assurance of your salvation. But on the other hand, when Satan comes, he creates despair, doubt, resentment, and anger toward God, toward his word, and even toward his people. He makes you feel that no one as bad as you could ever really be saved. Now do you begin to see why it is so important to wear the breastplate of righteousness, to claim it, to appropriate it on a daily basis, both to protect you from the satanic temptation to go ahead and compromise your own standards of what's right and wrong. Won't matter too much. It matters an awful lot. On the other hand, once you have failed, he will come and try to convince you that you have no righteousness, that you are not worthy before God at all. Satan has a right to claim your life. And putting on the breastplate of righteousness means that you combat both of these ways that Satan seeks to come at you and devour you and destroy you. It's at the very heart of the battle against the enemy. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What does it require? I believe it requires just three very important things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, it requires a doctrinal understanding of righteousness. I do not know any way to put on the breastplate of righteousness without doctrinal understanding of what it is that you're doing. And I have shared with you three thoughts upon this. First of all, putting on the breastplate of righteousness means you understand your position of imputed righteousness. Now that's a very wonderful term, imputed righteousness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 speaks about it. It says, therefore being justified, being made righteous is really what justified means. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've already said, righteousness is not something that you emotionally feel when it comes to you. It's not an experience. The only way that you know it's happened is that God's Word says that it's happened. And it's a divine transaction. It's a legal declaration that God Himself makes about you, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, therefore, is like a finger there in Romans 5:1, pointing to Christ and all of the work that He did to take away your sin. We have it beautifully illustrated in this case of Joshua the high priest being called to account in the presence of the angel of the Lord, which seems to be an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Just notice it again, how it speaks of imputed righteousness. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, or before Christ, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. There's that one of the major ways in which Satan attacks your righteousness. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." That seems to be the Lord as the appearance of Christ says to Satan, "The Lord," or "Jehovah rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now he's going to tell how he was snatched from the fire. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes. And that's the way all of us appear before God. In filthy clothes. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All are guilty. The angel said to those who were standing before him, this is Christ in his appearance, "Take off his filthy clothes." Now that's what happens when imputed righteousness comes to you and me. It has two aspects to it. It means that all of your filthy guilt before a holy God is removed from you. It's taken away by the divine work of Christ in your behalf. It's removed. But that's only part of it. Then he said to Joshua, "See, I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." That's the second part of justification, or being made righteous, having imputed righteousness put to your credit. Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Oh, dear friends, you must understand, if you're going to wear the breastplate of righteousness, that it is imputed righteousness. It's righteousness God has credited to you. God has placed upon you. You have none of your own. Like Joshua the high priest, if you stood in your own garments, they would just be filthy. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah says. But the Lord Jesus takes those dirty garments off, and he puts his holy clean ones on you. That's what it means to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You understand that. You know that. It's vital. Doctrinal truth. If you're to be protected from the vicious assaults of Satan, who will try to accuse you of having no righteousness before a holy God. But it also involves imparted righteousness. And I wish we had time to read all of these texts that we put in your scripture, but notice how that again comes out in this text concerning Joshua, beginning with verse 6, or verse 5. Then I said, verse 6. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. Now the first part has all been of Christ's doing, you see. The taking away of the filthy garments and the putting on of the clean. But now human responsibility comes. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. You see, righteousness is not just imputed. It is also imparted. And the distinction is this, that once you become a Christian, God puts a new nature in you, a Christ nature. As Ephesians puts it, renewed in righteousness and true holiness before God. And now that new nature, that Christ nature that came by the regenerating work of the Spirit is capable of pleasing God and serving God and overcoming sin, so that you begin to walk in a manner of righteousness in your conduct and living. And I think one of the tragedies of the day for many of us is that we have forgotten that we're to be a different people whose lives are characterized by the wonder of what's happened to us. God's given us a new nature. And the final part has to do with this implemented righteousness, this process of sanctification. And let me just review for you the three aspects of your sanctification or your holiness and righteousness before God. As we've already said, it's a completed sanctification. Sanctification is completed. There's a sense in which just as you receive justification, you also receive sanctification. You were made holy in the eyes of God. And there are a number of texts that illustrate that so beautifully that we've put in your notes that you can look up. But sanctification is also a continuing day-by-day process. None of us in this life ever quite reach the perfection of sanctification that already belongs to us. But it's a process that's going on. Peter called it growing in grace. Paul referred to it in almost the same terms. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting away sin. Putting on the new man. Putting off the old man. So that this sanctifying process is going on. But sanctification is also to be finished. Aren't you glad that's true? That there's a day coming when this righteousness and this holiness that already belongs to you, that has been imputed to you, will finally be brought to the wholeness of your person, and the fullness of your salvation will be realized when in the presence of God you are without any flaw or spot or wrinkle. You never think any unrighteous thoughts. You never have any unrighteous temptations. Your sanctification is complete. Now that's all involved in putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You grow in your understanding of the doctrinal aspects of it, so that when you pray it on, you understand your standing before God in imputed righteousness, your responsibility before God in imparted righteousness, and how that begins to come into your life and experience. Now I want to share a word that it also requires a continuing repudiation of self-righteousness. One of the most vital things about putting on the breastplate of righteousness I have found is just renouncing before the Lord and before my own heart, and certainly against Satan, any dependence upon my own righteousness. know, we sometimes fall into the trap. Oh, I'm making it so good as a Christian. God can't do anything but just bless me. And when it seems like the blessings aren't coming the way we ought to, we almost feel offended toward God. Lord, I'm just such a good, worthy person. Why don't you bless me in accord with all of my good deeds? When we fall into that trap, we're in serious trouble. You see, God never blesses you because of your righteousness. He only blesses you because of the righteousness that He's placed upon you and in you by the work of His Spirit and your salvation. And whenever we begin to draw back from the tests and trials and complain against God because of them, it's a sure sign that we've fallen into the trap of self-righteousness. So when you put it on, you're just reminding yourself you have no righteousness of your own. It's all of God, and it's all of grace, and you reach out for it, and you clothe yourself with it. The third major point has to do with what putting on this breastplate of Christ, of righteousness, requires in practical appropriation and use of. How does it come into your life? Well, first of all, it requires the assimilation of God's Word. It's God's Word that produces righteous living and righteous understanding and righteous desire. And that's why the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," as we sang, "that I might not sin against thee." "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." When the Lord Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he use? And that's why it's so important for each of us. When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, it means that you're into the Word. One of the men of our church shared with me his own testimony just this last week of how that he and his wife have gotten back into the Word on a daily basis, reading it and meditating upon it, even memorizing it together. Just so important. You'll never wear the breastplate of righteousness unless the Word of God's flowing into you and you're meditating on it, dwelling upon it. The second thing, it comes by the expectancy of faith. You see, righteousness is something that is lived out by faith in your life. The same way that you're saved, just by believing that the Lord would save you and take away your sin and guilt. So by faith you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will enable you to walk in a righteous way before God. I think of a dear man who shared with me how that, as we were talking last week, he had a problem of lying in his life. And he would find himself telling a lie before he had even realized what he was doing. Sometimes it was just shading the truth or changing it slightly. One thing he noticed usually always was to make himself look better, to make his story more interesting to the people that he was talking to. But as the Holy Spirit dealt with his life, he began to hate this thing. He realized what a harmful thing it was to have the practice of lying. And when by faith he began to just look to the Lord and ask the Lord that before he would begin to tell a lie, the Lord would remind him what he was about to do. And he just began to believe God would enable him to change. And it wasn't very long until that tragic failure to wear his loin girdle of truth began to disappear from his life. Because the breastplate of righteousness had been appropriated by faith. A third important element that's not in your notes, but I would just mention it, to appropriating the breastplate of righteousness is to walk in the Spirit. The book of Galatians chapter 5 makes that so clear, that righteous living is by walking in the Spirit, that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And then that's followed up by the importance of walking in the Spirit in Romans 8. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit produces His fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. And then you appropriate the breastplate of righteousness by prayer. As I said, concerning putting on the loingirdle of truth, I don't know any way to put on the breastplate of righteousness apart from prayer. And it may mean that you pause long enough in putting it on to remind yourself that you have imputed righteousness placed upon you by God Himself. When you receive Christ, you were justified. And to remind Him that yourself that you have imparted righteousness. You've been given a new nature, renewed in righteousness and true holiness, that loves the Lord and loves to be obedient to God. And putting on the breastplate of righteousness means you understand that, and you, by faith, reach out for it to be in control of your life today. It also means that you understand that the sanctifying work of God is going on in your life. And so you are reaching out, watching, that you might walk in righteousness before God. You're watching for Satan's strategy to get at you, to pierce the heart of the battle, to destroy you, by getting you to compromise, or getting you to feel so unrighteous, not understanding how righteousness really came to you. And so I hope that you will appropriate that bulletproof vest of the righteousness of God on a daily basis. You need it. It makes you strong. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, how we thank You today for the breastplate of righteousness. What a vital part of the armor it is. And we thank You that You have given it to us by Your mighty work of justification, and that it comes into our experience by the sanctifying work of Your grace and Your Word and Your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to walk in righteousness. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the armor, through Christ our Lord. Amen.